Time for us to welcome our speaker, Donovan Hayden. Donovan's talk will be discussing how Unitarians can remain committed to anti-racist work and put the eighth principle into action. He speaks with honesty and insight about his experience as an activist for racial justice. Donovan recently completed an MA in Theater and Performance Studies at York University. In Canada, he continues to raise his voice as a young adult Black Unitarian and has continued to be involved with a number of Black and Indigenous protests since returning to Toronto. Donovan brings a fresh perspective, which attracts other young adults. Donovan.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
Morning.
I used to be a member at the EMC Greater Fellowship. That stood for Easter, Mother's Day, and Christmas, as those were the only days that I attended church. During my teens, I stopped identifying myself as a Unitarian and stopped going to church altogether when I went to university. I attended UU summer camps in the U.S. and Canada, but even my involvement in those began to fade. I had no real investment in UUism and did not consider myself a part of the community. It was not until the summer of 2020, after roughly 5 years disconnected from Unitarians, that I began to attend church services and reconnect with the faith. After hearing about my involvement in the protests after George Floyd's murder, the interim minister at First Church Pittsburgh, Reverend Connie Grant, invited me to speak on my experiences at the protest. I had spoken at UU churches before, but always through invitation of my parents, Reverend Pat Trudeau and Wilburn Hayden. I had never been sought out for before. It felt good. I accepted and gave my first version of anti-racism as spiritual practice in July 2020. Little did I know that I would continue giving that sermon at 22 more congregations across Canada and the United States. Shoot, I had not attended that many church services since I was 10. As I spoke, I researched more about UU's commitment to anti-racism and, of course, the eighth principle. It is because of this engagement with social justice, anti-racism, and valuing Black people that I was brought back into the faith and proudly call myself a Unitarian Universalist today. I was excited about the eighth principle and for the CUC to adopt it at the special meeting on November 27th. After 2.5 difficult hours, the eighth principle was passed with 95% of the delegates voting in favor of it. However, I did not feel the joy that I had expected. When I connected with other racialized UUs after the meeting, they also expressed feeling wary and weary. The first hindrance to our joy is that we saw how long hours of work that required deep patience and exposed us to harmful situations at every turn. Secondly, we know there is a lot of work ahead of us. After the vote, we seem to all be in agreement. Today we celebrate, tomorrow we work. The work does not fall solely on racialized people. Now that the CUC and congregations have adopted the eighth principle, it calls all Unitarians, as the principle states, to individual and communal action that accountably dismantles racism and systemic barriers to full inclusion in ourselves and our institutions. It is time to put the eighth principle into action by reconciling with our internal racism, shifting our priority from diversity to anti-racism, and connecting with external individuals and organizations doing the work in our communities. Reconciling with internal racism. As I give talks to many congregations about anti-racism, there seems to be a sentiment that UUs have been simply not doing the work and now need to get re-involved. For the most part, I agree with that. Many UUs have good intentions and progressive ideals. I am affirmed by the white allies doing the work to educate themselves, urging others to take actions in supporting the eighth principle. There also are some who have done little besides vote and put up Black Lives Matter signs that could be doing more. All in all, that stuff is fine. It is all part of the process as we continue to learn and grow. However, through my talks, I was also exposed to small pockets of racist Unitarians that still hold space in our congregations. How can we as a faith move forward in dismantling racism without directly addressing our racist systems and actions? We must interrogate these elements of our denomination and reconcile with them to move forward. One does not need to go deep into the archives of UU history to find moments of racism and white supremacy. You need only to ask racialized UUs or reflect on the recent Eighth Principle discussions. The Eighth Principle started many insightful conversations, inspired people to act, and changed minds. There are still those who remain opposed for numerous reasons. The diversionary tactics during the special meeting in November and the online response after the principle was passed made clear that there is still a loud minority that covers their racism with nice words, diversions, and concerns about timing. Throughout the Eighth Principle process, many harmful sentiments were shared by congregants. In the Dismantling Racism Study Group survey, scary remarks were given, such as, "While working with new cultures coming to our area, do not forget that we were here first, and our lives matter as well. We have welcomed others and helped them with a hand out as well as a hand up, but at the displacement of our core traditions," end quote. Another response read, "You are dividing people into smaller and smaller intersectional groups fighting over who is oppressing who," end quote. Personally, I have had people tell me that the Eighth Principle is unnecessary and ridiculous. I understood people's initial hesitation and discomfort with adding a principle. It was a big step and it needed to be talked through. My hope is that those individuals who left those comments in the survey or had that hesitation to me early on have grown and educated themselves through the many resources provided and forums hosted by the CUC. But I also suspect many have not and will not budge. It is important in any major decision to have differing opinions. But what is scary to me is how defiant the detractors are. Their opinions may seem civil and harmless. I can understand why many white Unitarians would believe that. Although there is no consensus amongst racialized Unitarians, one thing we can agree on is that this rhetoric and the tactics are harmful. For example, after the CUC announced the passing of the Eighth Principle, an email was sent warning CUC leaders of moving in a critical race direction. This is a racist dog whistle that plays into conservative fears and the need to keep history white friendly. It may just be a debate for y'all, but for us, it's a fight for our existence to be respected. I need to make this clear. The eighth principle was not some half-baked idea adopted by the CUC from the UUA. After recognizing our congregations had the same issues as south of the border, racialized Canadians, UUs, organized to directly ask for the eighth principle to be adopted. And it was. I have watched as racialized UUs gave passionate and eloquent testimonies on the eighth principle based in data and lived experience, only to be ignored and discredited. I hate to break it to folks who stand opposed to us, even the ones who reluctantly voted for the eighth principle. It is not about you. It is about the people whose ancestors and were forced into labor and who were removed from this land to allow our faith to grow. It is about the people abandoned by the UUA in the 1970s. It is about the Black, Indigenous, and people of color who have tolerated relentless racism and resisted leaving after every time someone made them feel unwelcome and tokenized. We have been patient. We have been understanding, but we cannot tolerate more feet dragging and harm. I am aware that some may have concerns about directly addressing racism in our congregations. It stokes fears of cancel culture and divisiveness. Okay. Truthfully, it is hard to share a faith with the numerous UUs who have harassed my father through emails. It is hard for me to turn the other cheek as my experiences are repeatedly disregarded. I know church to be a place to learn, grow, and heal, but that can't be at the expense of racialized people. Every incident is different and situated in a different context. It requires grace and a nuanced approach. But it still needs to be addressed for what it is: racism. Only after we call a moment or action racist can we then begin to assess and heal. Diversity to anti-racism. UU congregations are hyper-focused on diversity. A common question I got after my talk was, how do we attract more Black and racialized people? Often paired with, our congregation is predominantly old and white. What can we do? I appreciate this question and recognize the difficulty many congregations face when trying to be diverse. The reality is, our congregations are predominantly white, and most are situated in predominantly white communities, Regina being one of them. It's important that we seek efforts to diversify our churches, but it's an almost impossible task for many congregations. To use the old idiom, you cannot get water from a stone. Even when diversity initiatives are done successfully, they do not equate to anti-racist work. What good is seeking diversity if we do not support racialized people and instead expose them to racism that has remained dormant in our congregations? I believe Canadian UU congregations could better use their resources to prioritize being anti-racist. This does not mean we ignore diversity, but recognize that with or without racialized people present, we should be dismantling racism in the larger community in which we live. In 2015, white anti-racism activist Chris Crass made this observation at the UUA General Assembly. The question for us as Unitarian Universalists is not how many people of color we can get in our pews, it's how much damage we can do to white supremacy, end quote. White supremacy was created by and is sustained by white people. Therefore, white people are obligated to dismantle it. In my former talks with UUs, I provided several anti-racist practices that can be done individually and as a congregation. As an individual, you can read Black anti-racist authors as well as resources developed by the CUC. Recognize and research terms and concepts like defund the police, indigenous land defense, and racial gaslighting. As a congregation, organize an anti-racist book club or attend workshops. I know of one workshop being offered by a wonderful biracial UU couple based in Toronto, my parents. Do the work on the back end so you are ready to do the work on the front end. My other practice is to support individuals and organizations leading the fight against racism. Prominent Black UU Ken Wiley argued, protests need food and water. Movements cost money. Events need setup and takedown help. And meetings need physical spaces. End quote. During the protests after the Attorney General decided to not indict the cops who killed Breonna Taylor, the First Unitarian Church of Louisville opened their doors to keep protesters safe from police after an imposed curfew. The church became a pivotal hub in the movement and was a saving grace for those on the front lines. The church was criticized and under heavy surveillance, but they kept providing support every night. I am sure that many congregants were uneasy about involving their church in the chaos and violence of the protests. But as one congregant professed, every time we give a bottle of water to someone, God is there. Every time we offer comfort, God is there. End quote. Individually, you can also donate to local grassroots organizations or funds supporting victims of racism. I am not familiar with Regina's activist scene, but I am sure there are groups and people doing good work in your community that would benefit from your financial support. If you know any or are connected to some, please share them with other folks. And even myself, I love to learn what other people are doing in this country. One note about these groups, they may not come with nonprofit status or sleek donation pages. Nonetheless, it is still worthwhile for you to donate to them as an individual. Building external solidarity. Support is impossible without engagement. UUs can put the eighth principle into action by engaging with individuals and groups external to ourselves. The reality is that organizationally, the denomination no longer has a place in today's struggle for racial justice in Canada. There are many UUs and UU groups that are engaged, but much of our collective action has been unreliable and misplaced. While we sat and debated the eighth principle, Black youth were taking to the streets to fight the police. While we worried about procedure, Indigenous land defenders set up camps to stop corporations from consuming their land. I valued the discussions on the eighth principle and was pleased to be a part of it. It was a big step for Canadian UUs, and it did require discussion. However, we have fallen behind. Now that the eighth principle has passed, it is time to catch up. Unitarians, especially white Unitarians who have not been involved in this new movement for racial justice, are advised to approach their engagement as humble visitors. After attending the protest in Ferguson following the murder of Mike Brown, interfaith pastor and civil rights activist Reverend Osagyefu Sekou said in an interview, "The leadership that is emerging are the folks who have been in the street, who have been tear gassed. The leadership is Black, poor, queer, women. It presents in a different way." He continued, I am not a leader in this movement. I am a follower. I take my orders from 23-year-old queer women. End quote. I am proud that many UUs are leaders in movements for climate justice, disability justice, LGBTQ rights, women's rights, and other struggles, and that many of them have been involved in the civil rights movement. We need your experience, support, and bodies. What we ask now is that you let us lead, that you trust us and our vision for a racially just world. UUs can learn about anti-racism work and be inspired by the tactics used to dismantle racism by new activists. UUs are comfortable doing social justice work through charity like food banks and sponsoring refugees. That work is good and meaningful, but let us also do work that proactively challenges the root of the problem and not just the symptoms. Paul Taylor, the executive director of the Toronto nonprofit Food Share, said, "Charity will not end racism, colonialism, and white supremacy. These systems need to be actively dismantled." After the success of protests in the summer of 2020, activists have restructured their approach to change policy through contacting officials, something that was brought up in the announcements earlier about disability justice. They are supporting progressive politics, educating the public through teach-ins, amplifying the lived experiences of racialized people, and organizing alternatives to police. I don't expect our congregations to become little activist cells, nor do they need to be. What I would like to see is our congregations being more intentional and informed on the work we do and be more in line with today's movement for racial justice. It is an exciting time to be a young Black Unitarian. 2 years ago, I could never have imagined I would feel that way. It is an exciting time to be a Canadian UU, period. We have just begun the journey to dismantle racism and white supremacy, to make our congregations truly safe and inclusive places, to meet new and inspiring people that can lead us. The fight for the eighth principle has been tough, but it has also been exhilarating. Watching people's minds change and connecting with committed UUs has been spiritually awakening. There are some who do not know which way the wind is blowing and will fight to undermine the great work done behind the eighth principle. But as my precursors proclaimed, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking and keep on talking. Who will join me in walking, talking, and living the eighth principle? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donovan. I think your words are timely and, It's good to start the conversation so soon after we have passed the eighth principle.